fears grow for the safety of Detective Inspector Alex Drake, who's been missing since 10 o'clock this morning. The police officer was last seen driving away from the South Bank after a failed attempt to apprehend a gunman. The police have named the gunman...
She's dead for sure.
...Layton and have described him as armed and extremely dangerous. The search for Detective Inspector Drake continues, with police releasing a photo fit of the suspect.
This bloke will be joining you by the end of the day. But 5 minutes.
He won't be able to hear you.
It's feared that he could be holding V.I. Drake as a hostage. Alex Drake has a 12-year-old...
Cool.
It's time to reveal who you think is the weakest.
I wonder where she is.
From two nurses who are tending a patient in a hospital bed, to the light from a torch, it cuts through darkness and makes the shadow of a woman fall across a brick wall. It's Alex Drake. She's making her way slowly along a narrow underground tunnel. Three men are also walking along the tunnel, their torch beams cutting through the gloom. Gene Hunt is flanked by Chris Skelton and Ray Carling.
This had better be kosher, Bolly. If I get shit on my boots...
You won't, dear. I spoke to the water board. Tunnel 96 will be new since the turn of the century. According to this floor plan, there's an interior drain that drops right down into this tunnel.
They duck beneath an archway, and Chris stops to examine a sign on the wall.
What number tunnel's this?
96, why?
Not 69.
I'm sure D.I. Drake knows what a 69 is.
What's that noise?
I must have read it wrong.
I fear your time on this earth is coming to a close, D.I. Drake.
Fleeing in the opposite direction of the noise, they hurry along the tunnel. Chris slips and falls to the ground.
Oh. 69, 96. It's an easy mistake to make. When it's off the forklift.
Some people had driven down from the Midlands and the North to see Britain's fleet set off. It was led, with an unhappy irony, by the ship that the Defence Secretary is to sell to Australia next year. Invincible is the Navy's brand new Harrier carrier.
Molly, this just isn't the sort of behaviour I expect from you. Now, come on, Molly. You're going to have to do better. We want to know why you locked yourself in the toilet.
Tucker said my mum was dead.
I'm not dead, Molly, I'm not.
We had a fight. Miss Mooney said I had to come and see you. Didn't want to.
Listen, Molly. When a teacher says something to you, you have to do it. Do you understand?
Yes, miss.
Molly.
It's just...
What is it, Molly?
It's my mum. There's news.
What news? Am I alive? Has someone found me?
Alex shakes the TV set in frustration, but the screen now shows only static.
My name is Alex Drake. I've been shot and that bullet's taken me back in time. Now I'm lost in 1982 and all I can do is fight and search and stay alive. Because somehow, I will find a way home.
BBC. Ashes to Ashes. Starring Philip Glenister, Keely Hawes, Dean Andrews, Marshall Lancaster and Montserrat Lombard. Co-created by Matthew Graham. Co-created and written by Ashley Farrow. Alex walks through Luigi's restaurant carrying Jean's boots. She puts them down on a counter in front of Luigi.
Buonasera.
Luigi.
They both look over to a corner table where Jean's sitting smoking on his own. Alex hurries over to join him.
My boots. Good.
Something's happening.
What?
I don't know, but it's something significant. I think I might be going home.
Yeah, I thought we'd sorted all this, Bowles. You're not going anywhere unless I say so. And I don't say so. Boots.
Alex smiles and plonks the boots on the table. Jean's at the wheel of his red coupe. Alex is in the passenger seat with Ray and Chris in the back as Jean drives at high speed through some London backstreets. He throws the car into a corner, skidding around it expertly before racing off again. The coupe just misses a greengrocer who drops a box of fruit, spilling them onto the road.
The car said the man was dead. It's not going to be any more dead if we get there 5 minutes later.
They come around another corner, and suddenly their way is blocked by a large black car.
Get out of the way, you bastards!
Go.
Reverse, you twat, or I'll rip your innards out!
Go.
And I'll kill him.
Go.
There's a man with a giant penis.
Right. Go. It's Princess Margaret.
What are you doing in Soho?
Dressmaker lives here, I think.
Sixth in line to the throne. Jean Hunt does not wait for the sixth in line to the bloody throne.
Oh, God.
He gets out, and the others follow him as he heads for a seedy-looking strip club. An old woman approaches Alex.
No restaurant still.
It's all right, pretty lady. You're breathing.
What did you say?
Not long now, pretty lady.
Have they found me? What do you know about me?
Oh, nothing, miss.
Bolly, we have a dead person to look at, if that's all right with you.
Thank you.
Inside the club, Jean, Alex, Chris and Ray walk towards a tiny stage, where the body of a man in lady's underwear is slumped forward in a chair, a noose around his neck.
Oh, bloody Nora.
Try and remember that a human being lost his life here, a man just like you.
That's what I call Walung.
Has he been ID'd?
No, ma'am.
Right, you two. Go and have a talk with the woman who made the call.
Go.
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
What?
By strangling himself like that, his dying brain cells release glutamate. To prevent glutamate overload, the brain releases a receptor. It's these receptors that give rise to the feelings of euphoria.
I didn't know you had a PhD in masturbation, D.I. Drake.
The trick is to ejaculate and then let go of the noose. Clearly, it doesn't always work.
I saw him when I opened up this morning. Bloody idiot. Dying in the middle of my business.
Try and remember a human being lost his life here. A man just like you. Do you know who he is?
No. You're gonna close me down?
Well, we can't have pervy punters expiring all over the place, can we? Not even in Soho.
Please.
What's it worth?
I'll toss you both off.
No, thank you. Maybe we could accept a contribution to the Metropolitan Police Home for the Bewildered.
I don't want any money, Ray.
What are you talking about? The slags and scum in this business earn a lot more than we do.
The woman hands Ray a wad of cash, and he helps himself to some more.
All coppers are bastards.
So nice. Somebody must have helped him truss himself up like this.
Actually, the victims of autoerotic asphyxiation are usually lone young males.
This was found in the street outside, sir.
Usually, but not always. Who's the pirate?
Still trying to trace her, sir.
Well, it's not usual.
Open and shut. Some tart was giving him a five-knuckle shuffle. He ordered his last. Said tart, freaked out, galloped off down Berwick Street, left the Polaroid behind.
An accident.
No, that would have taken Columbo an hour.
Jean heads off, and Alex follows him. Now Jean's looking out of a window at the police station, watching a smartly dressed middle-aged man enter the building. Chris is in the office, looking at Shaz, who's doing some paperwork a short distance away.
See that woman over there? I think I knew it the moment I set eyes on her. Beautiful, kind, brave as a lion.
All I can see is Shaz.
Right, Viv, get everyone in this department in here now. Detective Superintendent McIntosh is on his way to speak to us.
He doesn't slum it with us these days.
Finally, I get to meet the great Superman.
What's going off, Guv?
You know that dead bloke in the strip club?
What about him?
He was one of us.
Police Constable Sean Irvin. Graduated with flying colours from Hendon. We were talking about moving him up to CID. He would have been a colleague of yours.
Why are you telling us all this, sir? Choked on his chicken in a strip club.
On the day our colleagues in the forces prepare to fight and die for their country, it doesn't fill me with joy that a fellow officer died in such circumstances.
Yeah, papers will have a field day.
Why did a young PC with such prospects commit a sordid act in a sordid part of town?
Perk of the job.
Because we let him down. Because he grew up as a young copper in a culture that said it was okay to overstep the mark. I know, it's been hard for you. The city awash with new money and new crime, and we're asked to police it with one hand tied behind our backs. But that's the new world we have to live in, and there's no going back now.
More's the pity.
The days of taking home a side of beef because the butcher appreciated you keeping the streets clean, gone. The days of asking your mate in traffic to rip up a parking ticket, gone. Now, we can either lament the passing of the old ways, become bitter and twisted and useless, or we can step into the new world. I'm a policeman. That's what I do. That's what I am. So for me, there's no question I will adapt. But from now on, it's a black and white world, gentlemen. I've just drawn a line in the sand. Whatever happened in the past stays in the past. But what happens from this moment on, either with me or against me.
Mac and Jean move into Jean's office, and Chris quickly shoves his share of the money from the strip club into Ray's pocket.
It's a real pleasure to meet you, sir. I'd heard a lot about you.
And are you, Alex?
Yes, moving on.
I want you to deliver the agony message personally, Jean, not some rookie PC.
Okay, sir.
And his colleagues need to be told. There was one guy in particular he was close to.
Yeah, I'll get the boys onto it.
Oh, and the commissioner had a call from the palace today.
Bookhouse.
It seems Princess Margaret was visiting her favourite dressmaker when a man holding a giant plastic penis walked in front of her car.
Too much scotch.
And then some foul-mouthed police officer refused to let her pass.
No respect for our elders anymore. Some people, eh?
Irvin was supposed to clean up Soho. Instead, he got corrupted by it.
We'll sort this, sir.
Mac nods and goes. Jean and Alex pull up in a residential cul-de-sac. They get out, and Alex immediately starts walking towards a nearby house.
Hold up, Bolly. Personally, I'm never in that much of a hurry to tell a wife her husband's dead.
Things are moving.
You certainly are. Something to do with last night's vindaloo.
You heard him. You've got a job to do.
They move towards the front door, and Alex rings the doorbell. Inside, a woman lights a cigarette.
He must have made a mistake. He's just not that sort of man.
But we all have our peccadillos, love. Doesn't make him a bad person.
He was the most loving husband you could ever imagine. His only problem was he was married to the poxy job.
He put in the hours, did he?
It's not a job, it's a disease, and it's killed him.
Well, feel free to cry. I hear it's the done thing on these occasions.
Piss off.
Did he ever ask you to watch him indulge in any sort of sexual fantasy?
No.
Never asked you to dress him up as a schoolgirl?
No.
Traffic warden?
No, nothing like that.
Princess Leia?
I think she said no.
Not Sean, never. Was Kevin with him? Where was Kevin?
It's PC Kevin Hales' partner. Two of our best officers are talking to him now.
All right, mate. Are you Kevin Hales?
I am, yeah. Why, what can I do for you?
Best mate of Sean Irvin.
Yeah?
Well,
he's dead. What?
Yeah, he died in a strip club in Soho.
Dressed up like a woman. Sean's dead?
Yeah.
So there was never any extra money around the place?
What are you implying?
I'm implying that he works in Vice.
We lived on his police wages, if you can call it living. He's as straight as a die. So you're saying while I was sat here with the kids watching his tea go cold, he was dying in some strip club? No. No!
How was your marriage, would you say?
He loved me, he loved the kids.
Well, you never caught him going through your knicker drawer?
No!
I'm going to show you something now, which which I know will upset you.
Oh, God.
It's important to clear up the husband's death, isn't it?
Alex shows Ruth the photograph, which shows Sean with a young woman wearing an eye patch.
Straight as a die.
Do you recognise the woman in the photograph?
Ruth shakes her head as two schoolgirls come home.
Get off me! Take it!
Ruth throws her arms around the girls. The older of the two stares at Alex with a bewildered expression. Alex and Jean leave the house.
I know wives are the last to know their husbands use prostitutes, but she did seem really sure he wasn't into that sort of thing.
As the great Charlie Rich once said, nobody knows what goes on behind closed doors. Look, the copper gets his rocks off dressed up as Widow Twanky in front of hookers. It embarrasses me, it embarrasses the force, so we move on. Nobody knows anyone, Polly. The great lie of this life is we pretend we do.
You never talk about Mrs. Hunt, do you? Ex-Mrs. Hunt.
That's right. I don't.
The car moves off, with Jean's coat belt trailing from the driver's door. The strip club. Ray and Chris are watching two strippers dancing on the tiny stage when they're joined by Jean. Alex arrives as the girls are each removing one of their garments.
This is supposed to be a crime scene.
Manageress very kindly asked us if she could keep it open.
Apparently our girl dances here.
Well, shouldn't we go backstage and find her? Oh, God. One day I will go to a woman of the year.
No, don't get all high and mighty on us bowls. I'd like to see you up there shaking your bits and bobs.
In your dreams.
I certainly hope so.
Ray's ogling one of the girls.
Oh, you don't get many of them to the pound. Watch out, mate, they've all got crabs.
The two strippers leave the stage to be replaced by another. It's the girl from the photograph, and she's wearing a pirate wench outfit, complete with eye patch.
That's our girl.
She starts to dance.
Well, somebody gonna arrest her?
Why are you always in such a hurry?
Disgusted, Alex crosses her arms. Jean takes out his police badge and moves towards the girl.
Right then, Long John Bloody Silver, you're nicked. Oh.
Boy, you, pick up that tissue, and you, put it in a bin.
Presently, Jean and Alex step out of the club with the girl.
So, you're a one-eyed stripper who likes to take a photograph.
I've got both my eyes, thanks. It's my stage persona.
So you don't deny, then, that that's you in the photograph?
Yeah, that's me.
How well did you know the man?
I didn't. Apparently he came into the club and watched me strip. Then the boss said he wanted to do something in private.
What did you say about that?
I said no. They said he was a police officer and they wanted to keep him happy. So I said I'd do it, but I'd only watch, nothing else.
Watch what, exactly?
Just him, and take photos.
What, one for the album?
Look, can I go in, please? I don't know anything.
We're talking about the death of a police officer here.
God.
Where's that accent from?
Hyde.
Hyde? Manchester girl. Should have said so. Chris! Chris!
Help! Can we get on?
Look, I promise you he wasn't dead when I left him.
This young lady's from Manchester.
Huh?
We'll go and get her a decent cup of tea and a biscuit. What sort of biscuits do you like, love?
Garibaldi's.
Whoosh.
Wearing his police uniform, Kevin arrives at the police station and approaches Shaz.
Can I help you?
Yeah, I want to see Hunt.
DCI Hunt's out at the office at present. If you'd like me to leave...
I want to see him now!
He's cleared Shaz's desk with an angry sweep of his arm.
Are you telling us the absolute truth?
Oh, what are you doing down here, Sal? Getting your kit off for a bunch of pervy southerners.
Trying to be an actress.
That's what they all say.
Look, I'm really sorry about what's happened.
Okay, off you go, Sal. Stop all this stripping nonsense. There's a good girl. Felicity Kendall didn't get where she is by taking her clothes off. Did she?
I don't think so, no.
Thank you. Mr. Hunt?
You won't tell my mum, will you?
No, love. There you go. Sex game gone wrong, end of. What?
Oh, was that it? I've seen bacon grilled for longer than that. Chick, I'm even starting to speak like you.
Hey, are we letting that tart go?
Well, she's not a tart, mate. She's an actress.
Gov, Viv's been on the radio. The dead copper's mate really wants to speak to you.
They say you're a legend. Start acting like one.
You wanted to talk to me, so talk.
Yeah, I'll not have my best mate hang out to dry. A laughing stock for the entire force.
I'd say he brought it on himself, wouldn't you? Dressed up like Hilda Rodden in a soul clip joint.
What sort of man was Sean?
He was a bloody good one. Best mate I've ever had.
Did he sleep with the girls?
He's dead. What difference does it make? Humiliating him there. All I ask is...
My sympathy for the death of your friend is starting to dribble away, police constable.
What do you want me to say?
The truth.
He was getting in a bit deeper than normal, but that's all I'll say.
So he did sleep with the girls?
When you work in Soho, it's sort of a perk of the job. Everyone does it, right? But he's one of ours and you're hanging him out to dry. Think of his
wife! You watch your lip, constable. What do you mean, deeper?
I don't know the details because I asked him not to tell me. But he was getting agitated. You know, nervy. I just couldn't keep him away from the girls. It was like a drug.
Game, set, and match, Gene Hunt.
In the station kitchen, Shaz is buttering some toast.
Yeah, yeah, smile like a Cheshire cat.
I did not.
Can't you see it demeans women?
Well, looks they get paid.
I was working, Shaz. I had to be there.
He actually said that he wouldn't mind seeing you up there on stage wiggling your tassels around.
That's not what I said. I said you'd be as good-looking as any of them if you were a stripper. Which you're not, because that would demean you.
Go and play with yourself.
Obsessed with the tarts, gets off by dressing up, gets a girl to watch, she leaves, he dies, end of.
Chris, get hold of the pathologist. I want to run a blood test on Irving.
Boss,
I am telling you, Bolly, it was an accident.
Ray, talk to all Ruth Irving's friends and neighbours. Find out what sort of a woman she is.
Ray and Jean both look less than pleased. Alex and Jean are leaving the station when Mac pulls up alongside them in his car.
All sorted, Jean.
Almost there, sir. Just tying up a few loose ends.
Good stuff. Short and sharp, so it doesn't affect morale. Alex?
Mac drives off.
It's called respect. You should look it up.
A voice emanates from a police dog.
Female, mid-30s, with gunshot wound to head.
What's happened?
Alpha Victor Lima 1. Urgent medical assistance required.
Jean's getting into his car.
Don't frighten the dog, Bowles.
Luigi serves Alex a glass of wine.
You know, I've had the strangest day today, Luigi. After months of nothing really happening, I think today someone finally found me. A tramp, maybe, down by the river.
Oh, you have to be careful down by the river.
But you know what it means? It means that I'm alive, and all these months are just seconds. I hear voices through other voices.
Like Rod Hull and Emu, eh? I like very much.
Something's about to happen.
You're right there.
A plate of pasta. Ah,
veal scallopini. You spoil me, Luigi.
I cook in my special sauce. My mother's sauce. Not for these others. Pearls before swine, eh? Enjoy, signorina.
Can I have a quick word?
Can it wait, Christopher?
It's Shaz. She's giving me the cold shoulder.
Why? Why is she?
Well, she says he enjoyed looking at those naked girls.
What, do you?
Yeah. But she says it's degrading to women.
Well, she's right, Chris, it is.
But I can't help it how I feel when I look at a woman taking her clothes off, can I?
Let me try and turn it around for you, OK? How would you feel about letting Shaz watch men strip?
Men? Stripping?
Yeah.
It's disgusting. Women don't want to see that.
Let me just finish my dinner in peace, and I will think of something to get you back on track with Shaz, OK?
Thank you, boss. OK. Well,
Jean sits down.
How's your food?
I really wouldn't know.
It was your own fault.
What is?
Get your coat off to the morgue. Raimondo!
A mortuary.
I must admit, it looked like an open and shut case of autoerotic asphyxiation. Thought I'd be home for Russell Harthy and corned beef hash.
Get on with it, because she's hungry.
That was a good scrap.
At your suggestion, D.I. Drake, I had a little rummage in his blood.
What was? Russell Harthy and Grace Jones. A big puff in a diesel dyke.
Where I found an amount of trichloroethanol.
What?
Metabolized chloral hydrate.
Precisely.
What?
Date rape.
What?
Temper, temper.
Well, speak English.
Somebody slipped him a Mickey Finn. There's bruising to the shoulders. There are scratches on the wrists. It's as though he's been forcibly held down.
Well, that would be my guess, yes. You're good at this.
So somebody incapacitated him, but he was still strong enough to struggle while they put on the woman's clothing.
Well, the only person we know was at the scene was Sally.
He's a big man. It'd be hard to hold him down.
Do you know, I'm beginning to smell a very big, very smelly rat.
Grace Jones is a lesbian.
What was the actual cause of death?
Choked on his own vomit.
An overdose of chloral hydrate would lead to convulsions and vomiting. He didn't stand a chance.
You're very clear what you're saying. A police officer has been murdered.
It would appear so.
Jean forcibly leads Sally out of the door of the strip club.
Life, Sally, that disappoints me.
I don't know what you mean.
A police officer was murdered.
Murdered?
Yeah, seems you're the last person to see him alive.
Look, I've told you everything I know, so please,
I'm
can you just...
I'm not going to phone your mum. I'm going to drive up to Manchester myself and bring her back with me. I'm not going to sit next to her while she watches her little girl waddling her bits in front of London's finest deviants.
You wouldn't.
Then start talking.
I told you. Look, the dead guy asked me to take photographs of him dressed up like a woman. I said no, but he gave me money. That's it. I'm not saying anything else.
Perhaps I didn't make myself clear.
There's things in this world a lot more scary than you, Mr. Hunt.
So you, Bowles. Somebody walking all over your grave again. Sally!
Sally's lurched forward.
Jesus, she's been shot. That way, go, go!
As Jean holds the agonized Sally, Alex is sprinting along the street at full pelt. She eventually comes to a standstill. She looks back down the street, but there's nobody in sight. Jean's cradling Sally in his arms.
No, you're not a bad person.
I only wanted to be an actress.
Well, you will be an actress. Now stop talking. Stay with me, Sally. You stay with me.
Well, tell Mum more.
No, I won't tell you, Mum.
Sally's eyes close. Jean looks down with sadness at her lifeless face. He rests his head back on the brick wall behind him. Later, Jean emerges from his office with two glasses of whiskey and puts one down in front of Alex before taking a seat opposite her at a desk.
Well, they should put a sign up at every train station in the north saying the streets of London are paved with shit.
Why kill a kid like that? What could she possibly have known that would be worth her death? I don't know what I'm in this miserable place for. I have no idea.
I know why you're here, Bowles. You only had to ask.
Why? Why am I here?
Same reason as me. To keep the streets clean. And to find this girl's killer.
Alex gives a faint smile. Jean leans back in his chair and downs the rest of his drink. Now the coupe, followed by a marked patrol car, pulls up outside Ruth's house.
I'm telling you, Ray's been talking to the grieving widow's neighbour. She wasn't where she said she was. She's lied to Uncle Jean, Bowles. You two, wait here a moment.
She's still just lost her husband.
Someone's been yanking my chain and I don't like it.
Just don't go into her house like a bullet in a china shop.
Good morning.
It's just a china shop.
What are you doing? How dare you just burst in here like this?
Get your knickers on, you're nicked.
Come on, kids. I don't need to hear this. In you go. Wait in there. They're burying their father this week.
Well, I hope you book the space next to him because I'm going to bury you. Let's run through the facts one more time, shall we? Your husband was found dead in a Soho clip joint.
You show me some respect.
I don't respect people who lie to me. Found trussed up like Danny LaRue, choked on his own vomit, murdered.
We did have a witness to your husband's last moments, but unfortunately she's dead too.
Sweet girl, full of life, and now her blood is soaking into the shitty tarmac of a shitty Soho street.
Why are you telling me all this?
You know what I think? I think your husband was playing away with some of Soho's finest.
No, I won't believe that.
I think that you found out about it and had him murdered, and then stitched it up to look like a sex game gone wrong.
No!
And when it became obvious that we were about to get Sally to spill the beans, you had her murdered.
No!
She died in my arms! A frightened little girl a long way from home.
Why did you tell us that you were at home that night with the kids when the kids were with a neighbour?
I'm sorry, but I can't.
I want the truth!
You didn't kill them, did you?
No.
What are you hiding?
Mac enters the interview room.
Jean.
Charlie.
It's all right, love, it's all right. A word, please.
Jean and Alex step outside with Mac.
What's she told you?
Lies, mostly.
She doesn't have an alibi for the night her husband was killed.
She does, actually. The reason Ruth wasn't at home with her kids is that she was with me.
With you?
Yes, with me. In my bed.
No, you're having an affair with Ruth Irvin.
I'm not proud of it.
You're sleeping with a junior police officer's wife.
The point is, Mrs. Irvin is not a suspect in her husband's death.
You're going to be speaking at his funeral?
You can't help who you fall in love with, Jean.
Is that right, sir?
None of this changes the bigger picture. I want Soho cleaned up. I want the man who murdered my officer. Now, you'll excuse me.
Mac returns to the interview room.
Nobody knows anyone who said that.
Sean Irvin was walking the main streets of Soho whilst his wife was being skewered by his senior officer.
I think love was the word he used.
I've been asking around about this Sean Irvin, Guv. He was well-liked. Nobody's got a bad word to say about him.
Girls really liked him. Said he was fair. He never took advantage of them.
Bent.
There's no evidence to say he was.
Which all backs up what his wife says about him.
So the only person who says Irvin was taking a stroll on the dark side was his mate, PC Kevin Ailes.
Who came in here specially to tell us that.
All right, go fetch.
Alex finds a red rose on her desk. She reads the card attached to it.
Congratulations, they found you.
Holding the rose, she steps away from the desk. Suddenly, she stares up at a brilliant white light coming from somewhere above her. Shielding her eyes, she spins around in confusion. Then the light winks out, as inexplicably as it appeared. Jean's holding a photograph in his hand.
Bowles!
What?
Get in here!
A bit dazed, she enters his office.
What the hell is this and what does it mean?
Pondalama, Alma Bridge. I didn't know, I didn't write it.
Rubbish, you're the only one who writes French in here.
I'm telling you, I didn't write it.
Those bloody Hales.
Alex studies the word scrawled on the photo.
It does ring a bell, though.
Jean's interviewing Kevin.
The death of your friend has been a bit traumatic for you.
Yes, sir.
Even though you told us he was a bit pervy.
No, not pervy. Whatever he got up to in private, I guess he didn't hurt anyone. We're talking Soho, nothing's black and white there.
Well, apart from your friend Sean.
Ma'am?
Well, he was white, wasn't he? I mean, he was honest.
Yeah, I didn't say he wasn't honest.
The question is, does that make you black?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, you said your mate, your best mate, used to tax the girls and we know he didn't.
If that's what you think, that's good.
Where were you the night Sean was killed?
I wasn't on duty that night. Neither was he. I was at Stamford Bridge,
On your own?
No, with 30,000 other people.
On the other night?
What night?
The night the girl was killed.
I was in a police cell.
What were you doing in a police cell?
I'd had a few drinks. I was in a funny mood. I got into a fight with a pimp in Soho.
Right. Well, that'll be on your record.
Well, no charges are brought.
I'll have that checked out.
You do that, sir.
I'm going to turn your life upside down, Constable.
Look, I'm not saying I'm a perfect copper, but I didn't kill my mate, and I didn't kill that girl.
Get out of my sight.
Kevin gets up from his seat and walks out the door. Jean and Alex are outside the station, walking to the coupe.
What do you think about Mac now?
I think he's very attractive. I think he's pulling the Met in the right direction. And I think he said the word love in a police station.
Oh, God, give me strength.
What do you think of Mac?
To Ruth.
What do you want?
To talk to you.
We'll make an appointment.
To talk to you where the walls don't have ears.
Jean closes his car door.
When I got back from my interview with you, I found my whole house had been trashed.
What?
We'll phone your local cops. We're not interested.
You don't like me very much, do you?
Your husband died doing his job while you were impaled on another man's baton. What is there to like?
Sean was a decent, loving man.
Oh, spare me the crocodile tears, please.
Will you put your schoolboy morality aside for 1 second and listen? Nothing was missing because they didn't find what they were looking for.
And what was that?
My husband's personal diary. He used to just keep it on the bookshelf in the kitchen, but a few weeks ago he started hiding it under the floorboards in our bedroom.
And did he say why?
He just said it was safer there. I thought there might be something significant in it. That's what you do, isn't it? Find the significance. Yeah. Have you ever been in love, Mr. Hunt?
Well, there was the time Wendy Barton let me put a frog down on knickers.
Sometimes love is dark and very dangerous and leaves you not liking yourself very much. Find the people who killed my husband. Please.
Ray's on the phone.
Listen, mate, I don't care if your wife does leave. You're all right. A man died in that club and we need to find out who was there. We'll just go and have a word with her, all right? Because you're coming down the station.
Chris.
Before it wasn't a double murder inquiry, so tell me what happened that night.
Same as happens every night. I told you all this before. They're punters. They pay their money, have a quick wank under their macs, and leave.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Why should women be treated like objects? It's not right.
Ray examines a corner of the photograph from the strip club with a magnifying glass.
There's an entire two pages at the back. KH.
Kevin Hales.
£40, £80, a lot of payments.
But why would he be paying Hales?
Well, maybe he wasn't. Maybe he was keeping a note of the payments Hales received.
Supposition, Bowles.
There's got to be something here. It's got to be staring us in the face.
Just look at the morning of the last day of his life. 10 a.m., Soho Association. 12 o'clock, SM.
Sadomasochism?
Well, it would explain why he died looking like my Auntie Sheila.
OK, I'm going to go back to the club.
What for?
Just, I don't know, maybe we missed something.
Alex heads off.
Gov?
What?
Fire up the photocopier. Why does this thing never bloody work?
It hasn't been the same since that lady from accounts photocopied her bum at the Christmas party.
She'd had a few brandy snaps in her life, hadn't she? Lovely. Hey, have you still got that photocopy of her arse?
No.
Chris squirms sheepishly.
Oh, here we go. Right, I've got it set to maximum magnification.
Just like Harrison Ford.
Ray places the instant photo face down on the copier and a light scans across. He picks up the enlargement.
I knew it.
Yeah, I can see it.
Look, on.
What am I looking for?
See the face? Kevin Hales.
A vague, grainy black and white image. Alex's black leather high-heeled boots as she hesitantly walks along a dingy backstreet towards the strip club. At the sound of the helicopter, Alex looks up. She carries on down the street, but then turns and looks upwards again. She still can't see the helicopter. Suddenly, a hand clamps a cloth over her mouth. As she's dragged backwards, everything around her goes blurry. Pitch black, then suddenly a bright white light. As things start to come into focus, Alex finds herself looking up at an operating lamp. She moves her eyes slowly from one side to another, then her face crumples with emotion. She looks across at a trolley full of stainless steel equipment.
Molly! Molly!
A man in scrubs comes in.
I survived the bullet. Is my daughter here?
I'm a little disappointed in you. The great detective can't unravel the simplest clue.
What's happening?
Pont de l'Alma. Does it ring any bells?
What?
Do you like the rose? I found you out, Alex. This isn't your home.
No, I am home.
He moves back a screen.
1982. No!
You wouldn't want your friends to miss out on all the fun. Will they come to your rescue if they can hear you scream?
Please.
There's nothing like pain to loosen the tongue. I've been hearing all about you, Alex. I want you to tell me what you're doing here. You see, I know you don't belong in this world.
This is the Alex Drake! Help me, somebody, please!
Jean picks up his radio.
Please! Please! Oi, what's going on? Where are you?
Shaz takes the radio out of a drawer.
Please! Mum?
D.I. Drake, talk to me!
Jean's car screeches to a halt.
I'm on it.
In a haze, paramedics are working on her in an ambulance.
Alex, can you hear me?
Where are you, Bolly?
Jean's now running down the street.
What are you doing in this place?
Alex winces in pain. Jean bangs his hand against the metal shutter.
Bolly!
He gets both hands underneath and forces it up.
Just tell me!
Alex is close to unconsciousness.
Bolly!
This isn't the end, Alex.
The man disappears as Jean finally forces the shutter up and ducks underneath it.
Bolly!
Go.
He finds Alex strapped to a gurney. The man hurries up the staircase as Jean grabs Alex's face.
Alex, wake up. Alex, wake up! Come on, wake up! Alex, wake up! Wake up, Alex! Come on!
She comes to and stares up hazily into Jean's face.
Am I dead?
Not unless I'm St. Peter. I find that highly unlikely, don't you?
He starts untying the straps. Now a despairing Alex is sitting on her sofa. She looks at the photos of the underground tunnel. Jean comes in with a glass of water.
Someone went to a lot of trouble to freak you out, Bolly.
I know.
You attract nutters. I've noticed that about you.
Yeah, so have I.
We checked Kevin Hales' alibi the night that Sally was shot. He said he was in a police cell, but I read his charge sheet. He was banged up for 5 minutes before a mate let him out.
Let's go and get him now.
No, it's fine. Ray and Chris have got it under control.
Go. Go. Go, we're outside Hales' flat. Bastard's firing at us. Army sponsor on the way.
A simple bloody arrest.
He was going nuts before we even got here.
Well, why, if he didn't even know we were coming for him?
Don't know, don't care. Where do you think you're going?
I'm coming with you.
Can't get enough, can you?
Jean's car screeches onto the estate and pulls up next to Chris and Ray, who are hunkered down behind their car.
Get down, Gov!
Where's Hales?
He shoots at Jean.
He's up there.
You shot my car. You shot my car, you bastard!
Shut down, response. Could we consult this joker out?
How are you feeling, Mum?
£5, Chris.
Come on, you bastards! Come and get me! Come on!
Get down!
Let's have it!
You lot, get back in now!
Oi, oi!
He's drunk.
He's dead.
Oh, put that away.
He's gonna kill someone.
He already has.
Exactly, that's why I'm gonna take him out.
Just let me talk to him.
I'll do it.
What?
You're still all over the place after your little meeting with Dr. Death.
Oh, what do you know about talking someone down?
Well, I've watched you. How hard could it be? Bit of tea and sympathy, pretending you care about their shagging, snivelling little lives.
There's a little bit more to it than that.
Kevin Hales! I know you murdered your mate. You're probably feeling bad about it. Not, it has to be said, as bad as he does. So stop feeling sorry for yourself and start behaving like a bloody man.
Kevin shoots at him.
Bastard.
Can't you see, right? This is what he wants, his victim-precipitated homicide.
Speak English, buddy, or I swear to God I will shoot you!
His death by cop, okay? He's killed his mate, he feels guilty about it. This is the ending that he wants.
Then I suggest we give it to him.
I'm responsible here, Gov.
Armed officers are running up the stairs.
Bolly! Bolly! Bolly!
As she runs over to the flats, Kevin takes a shot but misses. Alex hurries up the staircase inside.
Come on, you bastards! Come and get me!
Kevin! Kevin! Kevin!
He looks down at her on the staircase below.
I never met Sean.
You're not fit to say his name.
Yeah, so I hear. He was a decent copper and a good man.
He was my friend.
What happened, Kevin?
Come on, you bastards!
Kevin, what happened?
He backs away from the balcony again.
I killed him. I didn't mean to. He knew I was on the take and he said he was going to report me. I thought I'd get some pictures of him. Keep his mouth shut that way.
So you didn't mean to kill him? Well, that's important.
I paid the girl. Went back inside and he was dead. Choked.
Yeah, we know. But it did kill Sally.
Kevin nods.
Don't let Sean down again. Come on, make him proud of you. Just put the gun down. Just put it down. Go on.
The team are getting edgy outside. Kevin looks down the stairs at her.
Just put it down.
As he turns to stand at the top of the stairs, Alex suddenly looks petrified. Then Kevin slowly kneels and puts down his bottle. Then he lowers his rifle to the floor. He stands up, raising his arms above his head.
Sorry, Sean.
Alex heads back down the stairs. Kevin's led out of the building by two armed officers.
We're arresting you for the murders of Sean Irvin and Sally Jason.
this in this lot? It's like a wet dream in Radio Rentals in his gaff.
Oh. Rolls of cash.
What's this? 50% for the pimps, 10% for you.
Nothing you wouldn't do. Legend.
Have a nice day, cop killer. Get him out of my sight. Right. Who wants a television?
Hi. Blow into this.
You blow yourself.
Blow into that.
Reluctantly, Kevin blows into the breathalyzer. Alex checks the results.
You're not drunk.
I'm just a pebble on the beach, ma'am. I'm nothing. We are everywhere. Everywhere.
Get rid of him.
Shocked, Alex watches him being manhandled into the van. Later, back at the station, she's looking through a diary.
He confessed he's in the Polaroid. If you don't mind, I'm gonna go and get myself a drink.
I'm not saying he didn't do it, but why pretend to be drunk?
I don't know. Does everything have to have a reason?
Maybe somebody wants us to think that he was working alone. Maybe he was told to act drunk and confess.
What's someone else? Your nurse Ratchet?
That's,
Sadomasochist for doing that bit.
Yeah, but he wasn't, was he? That's what Kevin Hales wanted us to think. Meeting with SM goes well.
She suddenly looks up at Jean.
Super Mac.
Mac.
He had a meeting with Sean on the last day of his life.
Yeah, but it's not unusual for a superintendent to meet his PCs, especially if he was going to fast-track him into CID.
No, but it is unusual not to tell the people who are investigating that PC's murder.
No.
Yes.
No, enough. Keep Mac out of this.
Jean walks off, but Alex smiles to herself. She heads to Mac's office. She steps inside. Going through his diary, she rubs her finger over a page, then takes a pencil and scribbles over a line to reveal the imprint of some words.
Meet Sean Irvin.
Listen, he's your superior. You don't sneak into his office and start reading his private diary.
Could he be bent?
No, he could not.
Well, why did he rub out the meeting with Sean, then?
That's proof of nothing.
Maybe, maybe not. Why don't we ask him?
They turn to see an officer in uniform striding into Luigi's. It's Chris. He nods at Luigi.
Hey.
Chris,
what the bloody hell are you playing at?
I'm arresting you on suspicion of being the loveliest woman I've ever met.
What are you talking about?
He takes off his helmet, and Shaz's face breaks into a smile as he starts to undo the buttons of his police uniform.
What are you doing?
What is he doing?
He's being attractively postmodern.
Chris swivels his hips.
Hey, Chris! The full Monty, them's the rules.
Shaz's eyes widen as he pulls off his jacket. Ray turns away in disgust.
Bottom line is, I trust Mac.
He said things were black and white. What if he's black?
If Mac had anything to do with Sean Irvin's death, then everything that I believe in is wrong.
Welcome to my world.
Chris slips off his belt and whips it against the floor. Then he starts to slide down his trousers.
He's gone mad.
He's horrible.
Sorry, Mum. You had such great hopes for me.
Chris gyrates, holding onto his blue Y-fronts. Shaz gasps, then Chris takes a deep breath and whips them down. He holds his arms out in triumph.
God.
Chris shuffles forward to kiss Shaz, but trips over.
Mr. Hunt, it's for you.
I'm turning the piss off, I'm drinking.
He says to say it's Mac.
Jean turns and takes the phone from him.
Come here. Jean. And the I Drake. Nasty business. I wanted to thank you both for clearing it up.
That's if it is cleared up.
Yeah, it seems that Sean Irvin came to see you on the day that he died.
Irvin? I don't think so.
It was in his diary. A diary someone was very keen to get hold of.
He must be mistaken.
It was in your diary, too.
How can you possibly know that? My diary's kept under lock and key.
I picked the lock and read it.
Did you know?
She did have her reasons.
Max slides his desk drawer shut again.
I think we'd better clear up this misunderstanding at once, don't you, G? Scotch? And you, D.I. Drake. You put your pretty little fingers near my private belongings again. I'll cut them off. Shut the door, Jean.
Jean goes to hold the door open for Alex to leave. She steps outside, turning to give him a look. Then he shuts the door behind her. Alex pauses outside the door for a long moment, then strides off down the corridor.
I'm talking very quietly about succeeding in a very quiet, I hope, British way.
Alex is watching TV. Princess Diana appears on it.
Hello.
Did you like the flower?
She looks around in fear, then spots a rose lying on her kitchen counter.
How did you get in?
Are you going to be my partner or my enemy?
I'm putting this phone down.
Pont de Lama. Still haven't got it, have you? I was there at the funeral, holding back the grieving hordes.
Pont de Lama. It's the tunnel where she'd hide it.
Where the day she crashed?
But that was 1997.
More than a decade without her.
But she hasn't died yet. This is 1982.
Isn't it just?
Alex puts down the phone and steps warily into her kitchen. She gazes around nervously, then looks again at the red rose lying on the counter.
The body of Jed Wicklow. You're interfering with the police investigation. That is a criminal offence.
How don't you let me handle this?
With you in a field with a bunch of gypos on your own, don't be ridiculous. I'll tie you up as a sex slave and make a rabbit trap out of your knickers.
If Jean hadn't shunted the vehicle, it would have hit that child.
I don't recall a kiddie.
A quick reminder, Drakey, I am one of the good guys and you are on my side.
This will never be my side.
And I'm going to see your chair vacant. You know what you have to do?
Corruption? Sorry, D.I. Drake, have you just accused me of being corrupt?
You're filthy and you're rotten! Please let me in.
No.